I have no doubt that the devil stops Paul today, because what has the devil got to worry about? A King James Bible isn't even a threat to him if it's wrongly divided. And the other Bibles, you know, no big deal. And churches, there's nothing going on in churches. And the Baptist crowd, no threat there. He's got more people in his little pocket, in his little army for the world war than he's ever had. And the Paul guys, even those guys are getting split up. If the devil can't stop the Paul guys at all, the mid-Acts and, you know, that the hyper stuff, then he still gets them tweaked and messed up, and he robs them of their future glory, which could be a sermon sometime. You know, the devil may not stop you now, but he's robbing you of your rewards as such, and robbing God of his glory in some respects, because God still gets the glory even when you mess up, because he's taking care of everything. Anyway, here's something that happened during the week that's very interesting. One of the complaints that I had, not before all this other stuff blew apart, was a lady called me one time, nice lady, not a problem, and asked me why I was showing cartoons in music class. All the, you know, like, what a waste of time. I said, no, these cartoons are Disney cartoons, and they have classical music. And I can have the kids just sit there and listen to the sound of the classical music, which, you know, we could do that. Or they could watch something that's kind of funny and exemplifies the music. It goes along with the music. And one of them, and you can find them online, on YouTube, and they're funny. But they still, they write them in there to match the music. They match the cartoon to the music, not the music to the cartoon. And, in fact, if you notice on some of the Disney cartoons, when somebody's running up and down the keyboard or playing the piano, they're actually playing the correct, they're actually, when that little pause or fingers go down, all in all, most of the keys are the right keys for the song that's being played. Now, that's quite the cartooning. But anyway, one of the cartoons we watched was Tom and Jerry playing Liszt, Hungarian Rhapsody number 2. Da-dum, ba-dum, dee-dee-dee-dee, ba-dum, dee-dee-dee-dee. So, you know, kids like that, and it was funny. We watched it a couple of times. Well, anyway, I was watching a thing the other night about how they make Steinway grands. It was very interesting how they make a Steinway grand piano. Quite the deal. But anyway, Lang Lang was on there. Lang Lang is a very accomplished, you know, fantastic, great pianist. And he plays really extravagant. He just makes a big scene. He's kind of like a Liberace kind of a oriental guy. He plays everything too fast, but, you know, whatever. Anyway, he was on there, and they were talking to him. And he said what started him on piano was when he was a kid, he watched a cartoon of Tom and Jerry playing Hungarian Rhapsody number 2. And that's what he said, if that cat and mouse can play that thing, so can I. And that's what inspired him to play piano. So it's just, you know, a little cartoon like that. And it reminded me of our early days when we were homeschooling and all that kind of stuff. We were so picky. We were unreal in our pickiness. If we don't want something to be bad influence, you know. We wanted to raise our children to be perfect Christians. We figured education is the answer, kind of a thing. Strictness in education. So, and I sense these parents. I mean, this lady doesn't have a clue about classical music and the cartoons. And here's a guy that's famous now, world famous, because of that cartoon. Anyway, I wish I'd known that at the time, though. It's one of those things. You know, we're going to die really smart, but when we get to heaven, and you're going to say, boy, I sure learned a lot of stuff down there. He says, yeah, but you don't need to know any of it up here. So let's just get moving, kind of a thing. Anyway, let's turn to 1 John chapter 4. We're starting in 1 John, but we're not going to stay in 1 John at all. We're looking at 1 John. We finished chapter 4 the other night, Wednesday night. But there's something in the last verse that I said we were going to talk about today. It's verse 21, and it says here, because we know the first chapter, 1 John chapter 4 is all about loving the brethren. And we made this point that how is it, are they going to be able to love the brethren? We can't love them all today. It's just not possible. We're not even sure they're brethren. And we try to fit in to make the brethren happy, and someday we're going to find out that they really aren't even the brethren. They're just religious. They've got their religion, but they don't have God. They have an unknown God to them. Doesn't matter what the preacher's preaching to them. They're not getting it, you know, and not getting him. They have another Jesus that said all that kind of stuff. And we talked about how are they going to overlook all the personality tweaks and all the problems they have each other during this tribulation. Well, we know they got the Spirit of God upon their flesh. But even beyond that, we made mention, I think this is a very good point. During the tribulation, we have seen what it's going to be like to be a Christian, a true believer during the tribulation. It's going to be tough, rough. It's going to be hard. And like I say, the Spirit of God will be on their flesh, upon their flesh. So they will be working hard to do the right thing. And when they don't, they confess and all that kind of stuff. Hebrews says, listen, we need to get together all the time and, provoke us to doing the right stuff. We need to be there for each other. Well, think about it. What causes people to be so picky with each other today? Well, for example, we're not at war. Well, we are, it's a spiritual war, but it's not a physical war. And so people are spoiled. People are doing their thing, you know, and they've got their pride and all this kind of stuff, you know. And so some of the brethren can be pretty irritating. And I imagine we are irritating to some of the brethren, I suppose. I mean, who knows? But during this tribulation, they're going to be living so hard, so rough. Can't buy a trade or sell. You have to take the mark or don't take the mark. You'll be being killed by different, you know, homeland security cops and all that stuff. But when you're at war like that, you don't care about the petty little things. You will be there to love each other because you'll know who's trying to be a Christian. You'll know because they'll be walking a totally different walk than anybody else. And they will have to be obeying the commandments. These guys out there that say you don't have to be, they will have to be obeying a walk as well as having faith and as well as not taking the mark and being patient because they just have to wait for the Lord to come. He's coming. This is the next thing that's coming. So when they're at war like that and they're struggling as hard as they are, they will, A, know who's the Christian. We don't know who's Christians today. We don't know that the brethren are really the brethren. Everybody's doing their little thing. They're trying to justify how they dress. They're trying to justify what they do. They're trying to justify how they talk. They're trying to justify where they go. And they can't. But I tell you, during this tribulation, they will be so struggling that you will know who's a sincere Christian, who's a believer, and you will be there for them, and you will love them, and you'll give your life for them. Because it's at a war. The illustration I used was my son was in the Iraq war down there. He said they mocked him and they teased him on the boat and all this kind of stuff. But boy, when the war came and they were being shot at and shooting back and all that stuff went out the window. They would die for each other in the Marines. And that's how it'll be. So we're looking at this First John thing in a different light. We're looking at it like, what kind of Christian is it going to be? Well, it's a Christian that's going to love the brethren, and they're going to know who the brethren are, and they'll be willing to give their life for the brethren because they will all be struggling and trying to do the right thing. And they will be there to encourage each other. We don't have any of that today. We just have worldly, worthless, fake, hypocritical, immodest, loud, men with no strength, men not even have any idea how to be the Christian man, women that are doing their own thing, running the ship, you got tons of that stuff everywhere. Churches are a dud. If it's a Paul church, it's still a dud because everybody still dresses the way they want. They listen to the kind of music the way they want. You don't know who's a Christian or not based on what Paul teaches. You can't tell. There's grace. Yes, there's long-suffering. Sure, there's patience. Yeah, well, there's tears because based on Paul's teachings, you kind of have a clue. I don't really think some of those folks are saved. Well, it's not your choice. You're right, but it's still, there was so much deception going on. There was so much going on that's wrong. And, that's just on the outside stuff. Look at the things that people can read and look at and watch. Look at how we get taken away from doing anything worthwhile. In our day-to-day life, you've got parents, you've got fathers, you've got wives, you've got husbands, you've got children, you've got teenagers, you've got young people that do everything they can to keep you from being, a decent, believing, sincere Christian. Because it does take sacrifice. It does take efforts to give that body of ours, make it into a living sacrifice because it affects other people. It makes them mad. Yeah, we deal with that stuff, but you still don't know. I mean, really, we really don't know. Everybody that says they're a Christian, if they really are, you got Catholics that say they're Christian, you got Lutherans, you've got baptisms, you've got, you know, it's just like, what is going on here? Well, it's just a mess. It's a falling away is what it is. It's just a disaster. But boy, during that tribulation, they'll know who's a Christian, a real one. They'll know, and they'll be there for them, because it'll be a rough and tough time. And I still don't want to be there for that thing, so I'm glad I won't be. So that's what we talked about, by the way. Sorry. I wanted to get that in, because I know you all missed it Wednesday night. And I think that's just a fantastic observation we've made of what it's going to be like to be a Christian. They're going to know who they are, and they're going to be there for each other. We don't know who we are today. And we're not there for each other because we don't even know if they're brethren. And if you are, you might be helping somebody. You might be, as they say, enabling somebody to keep thinking they're a Christian. And if you at all bring up, well, you know, how do you know I haven't got another Jesus? They get mad at you. If you talk about music, they get mad at you. If you talk about church and you don't go because they're lying, they get mad at you. You're critical of a pastor. You can't be critical of my pastor. Sure I can, because it's the scriptures that are being critical. And you can say all you want, and these people that think they got a Paul church, and they're living like they are, and they're doing what they're doing, and they're going where they're going, you know, come on. You are a grace abuser is what you are. You might be a Christian, but your rewards in heaven and the judgment seat of Christ are going to be next to nil. Not that most of ours aren't anyway. But that was Wednesday night. And if you missed it, it's not a long, I think it was only 30 minutes, wasn't it, Mark? It wasn't very long. Give that thing a shot. And, of course, I just gave it to you, but, you know, whatever. Okay, so this morning, we are in 1 John chapter 4, but we're just going to be here for a second. And we get to this last verse where it says, "And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." See, now we went over the verses that Paul says, we need to love each other. We need to love the brethren. Not a problem. Well, it is a problem for some of us. There's some brothers out there that really give you headaches. And we have no reason to love. We love them. We say we love them. Come on, what are your thoughts, you know? And, again, my question is, are they really brethren with what they're doing and where they're going? Look at where people are going for vacations. What's a Christian going there for? There's not a thing a Christian can do in that city, really. At least you're going to go there and find it. There's no churches. It just boggles my mind sometimes. Anyway, we go back up into chapter 3. We see the word commandments again in 22, and it says, "Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him." Why? Well, because we keep his commandments. And as verse 23 says, this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, and as he gave his commandment. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. That's quite the stuff. And then the last verse up there in chapter 4 says, this commandment have we from him. You go down to chapter 5, verse 2. When we love God, see here, by this we know that we love the children of God, you know, the brethren, when we love God and keep his commandments. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. So we see the word commandments in here all the time. I thought, you know what, let's look at this commandment thing. Let's look at this commandment. What are we talking about here? So I just looked up a couple phrases in our. You know, I have to say this again. We have such an opportunity to study a Bible with our computer concordances. Not just to read. I don't trust reading scriptures on the computer. I just don't trust what they write. I just don't. But those concordances can help you in seconds find all the verses, for example, in the Old Testament that says, my commandments, plural, my commandments. Because see, here's my question here. No, I'll save the question for a minute here. Okay. There's 28 verses in the Old Testament that have the words, my commandments. Okay? You break that down. It says, my commandments, plural, of God. Well, there's 14. Of the Lord, there's 23. In the New Testament, there's only 3. And Paul, none. New Testament, the word commandments, just by itself, 30 times. Paul, there's 8, as he mentions commandments, plural, 8. Gospels, there's 12. Hebrews to Jude, there's 10. Okay, and we'll go over this here in a second. And we see that the phrase keep and commandments, or keeping and commandments, is 13 times in the New Testament. 4 times in the Gospels. Paul says it once. Hebrews to Jude, 8 times. The phrase keep commandments in itself, like saying in Jude, saying in 1 John, Paul doesn't talk like that. Now, what are these verses? Now, the phrase that we see The phrase I want to look up here is the phrase the commandment. The commandment. Look at Romans, for example. Let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 7. Here's what Paul says about commandments. And sure made me wonder here a little. Made me think a little bit. Romans chapter 7, verse 8. He says here, but sin taken occasion by the commandment, not commandments. Well, wonder what's he talking about here? The commandment. You know? When we look up the phrase the commandment, singular, we see in the Old Testament it says commandment of God, the commandment of the Lord. And then there's a lot of references that talk about the commandment from a various king. Okay? So we see the phrase is not referring to any specific one commandment. The commandment, and the way the thing is used in the book is like what God has said. That's the commandment from God. It's like that's what God has said. See, when you say that's what God has said, that's singular. The commandment of God, what God has told people, what he has said. Now, with that in mind, we recognize, let's just read that thing in Romans chapter 7, verse 8, and I'll show you something kind of interesting. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, flesh. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment, holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Okay, so when the commandment came in our lives, and we responded properly, we saw. We could see. Now look at Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6 says chapter 6, verse 23, it says, for the commandment, there it is again, is a lamp. Well, see, and when you turn on the commandment, you turn on the lamp, you can see. What does it say there? And the law is light. And the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And we know that the scriptures are there for, we've got doctrine. You've got reproof for correction in righteousness. And did I say them all? For doctrine, reproof, instruction, correction, righteousness. Okay. So, Proverbs 6:23, the commandment, when that commandment shows up, because Paul says, for I was alive without the law once. This is all referring to one thing, and this is what God says. Now, we know today what God says is a Bible, right? A divided Bible. We know how God says and what it is that God said during the Old Testament through the prophets and through the tablets and the laws. We know what God's going to say during the tribulation. So when we're talking, when we see in 1 John, when he talks about keeping his commandments, what commandments are we talking about here? Are we talking about the 10? Or like in Paul's time, are we talking about the 9? Remember, the Sabbath day is not a commandment to us. What about all the laws and Leviticus and things? So the question that we have to deal with here is, just because the word commandment shows up, we all think of the 10 commandments, and they can't take them out of the courthouse. Sure they can. Let them take the things. I mean, come on. Take the 10 commandments out of the school. Let them take them out of the school. Kids aren't taught that stuff anyway. I mean, we get so caught up on this 10 commandments. Now, if I remember a study correctly, years ago, I don't think the phrase "the 10 commandments" is ever in here. Probably should be careful saying that, because nowadays my studies are much better. But there's more to the commandment word than just the 10 commandments. So let's do a look here. Let me show you something. Look at 2 Peter. Let's go to tomorrow, the tribulation folks again. Let's go to 2 Peter. You know, the issue is always, this is a bunny trail, the issue is always, are we talking about Jews or Gentiles kind of a thing, you know? That's just, people just don't get it. In fact, I was writing to a guy last night, so frustrating, and he had mentioned, well, you know, when Jesus in Ephesians chapter 2 brings the Jews and Gentiles together, there we are. You know, why do we have to follow Paul only? He's bringing the Jews together. And I said, listen, why are you, when you bring the Jews and the Gentiles together, why do you make the Gentiles go back to the Jewish way, to the Jewish teachings? See what I'm saying? Why don't, when the Jews are set aside and Jesus goes on to the Gentiles through Paul, it's the Jews that are supposed to follow the Paul's teachings if they want to get anything right at all. So when Jesus brings the Jews and the Gentiles, that whole chapter is for future use anyway, but when he brings the Jews and the Gentiles together, he takes down that wall of partition, etc., etc., it's the Jews that got to come over to this side. Romans 11 is all about that. It isn't the fact when Jesus brings the Gentiles up to snuff, you know, that now they've got to go and go over to the Jews' side and believe their teachings. No, it's totally the other way around. When Jesus gets the Jews and Gentiles together, he takes that wall of partition down. He brings it. The Jews, come on over here to the Gentiles. They're the ones that are getting the stuff right now. Come to the Gentile teachings, Jews. When the Gentiles are done, when that whole thing starts, the tribulation, then the Gentiles, if they want what God has, don't have to go the way of the Jew again in the tribulation. Follow, you know, keep the commandments, have patience, have faith, and don't take the mark. That's Jewish stuff. Yes, then they'll need to be born of God. And they'll be born of God based on Hebrews to Jude, not the way Paul describes it. So right now, today, it's the Jews that got to come over on this side of the fence. And people are trying to put the Gentiles back to the Jewish way. Why? That's what Paul is all about. Just, it does get frustrating because it's so simple. But anyway. Well, so here's what we're going to do. No, yeah, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2, for speaking of this Jewish thing. Look at this. Look at verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you. I wonder who this you is. I know it's the Jews, but anyway. In both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles. He's telling these guys, listen, you listen to the commandment that the apostles put forth. That's not Gentile stuff. That's from the apostles. We're supposed to be following Paul, not the 12 apostles, or 11 as such. Look at 2 John. Let's go to 2 John. I'm just showing you again that this is Jewish stuff. 2 John, chapter 1, and verse 6. And this is love, that ye walk after his commandments, plural. This is the commandment that, as ye have heard from the beginning, That's Jews. They've heard, this is the commandments. This is the commandments they've heard from the beginning. They know this stuff already. They've heard it before. Jews. The Gentiles were not given commandments. They were given a conscience. Anyway, Romans chapter 2. Anyway, let's go here to Romans chapter 16. Let's look at what Paul says now about this commandment stuff. What does Paul talk about when it comes to the word commandments, okay? This isn't a very long thing, actually. I just want people to realize that when you see the word commandment, depends upon where you're reading it, you better know which particular commandment or commandments are they talking about. More likely, it isn't the ones you've been taught. Now, Romans 16. Here's the one where people will refuse. They'll look at the commandments in Hebrews to Jude, and they'll look at the commandments in the Old Testament, and they'll look at the commandments in the Gospels and all this kind of stuff, and they're thinking, okay, there's what we have to obey. No. Come on, listen to this. This is good. Romans chapter 16. Verse 25. Now to him, I've said this verse before, so you're going to have to just listen to me say it again. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, that's Paul, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, that's the preaching of Jesus Christ according to Paul's writings, because that's what Paul's whole mission was the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. See, it doesn't say, according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the apostles. No, it's according to his gospel, and it's according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. That's Paul's ministry. That is Paul only. Another reference to Paul only right there. Then you have, now look at this, but now. What's but now? Well, the revelation of the mystery, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, but now, because see, it was kept secret, but now is made manifest. I mean, it's just been brought out. The light shows us that. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So the commandment today is from Paul. According to the commandment of the everlasting God, is now made manifest. The commandment, meaning God is showing us today the preaching of Jesus Christ according to Paul. That's a commandment. Do you follow that commandment? Let's look at Titus chapter 1. That's an excellent verse, and that's an excellent commandment. But if they follow that commandment during the tribulation, they're following the wrong commandment. Let's go to Titus here. I'm going to Titus chapter 1. Phone buzzing? Nope. Titus chapter 1, verse 3. And we can go through the whole verses, I guess, talking about Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, promised before the world began, eternal life, but hath in due times, now just during Paul's time, manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me, that's Paul, according to the commandment of God our Savior. Okay, so if you want to follow God's commandment today, it's to follow Paul. Romans 16, 25, 26, that was a commandment of God that it goes from Paul. Titus chapter 1, verse 3, it's according to Paul, God's commandment is that we follow Paul. I know, and you folks on the line, you're going, why does he keep having to talk about this? Because we know, well, I know we know, but hardly anybody else knows, even the good, honest Baptist guys will argue till their face is blue. They type up just a bunch of... I hate this copy and paste. They got a big copy and paste stuff with a bunch of big words in it last night. So cut it out with the copy and paste stuff. The discussion's over if you can't think for yourself and talk for yourself. The issue is Paul. And to the mid-Acts guys and the hyper guys, the issue was still with Paul because Paul Paul wrote Timothy and Titus. You've heard me say that. Now, I came up with something interesting about Timothy. I'll talk about that tonight. The book Timothy. It's really, I think it's interesting to me anyway. Okay, we're looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 2. Okay? Now, let's just do verse 1. This is our classic verse. This is where we got started back in Tushy years ago when I realized this. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as ye have received of us, that's Paul and all his gang there, how ye ought to walk and to please God. Now, you know, how many of these Paul guys still preach how to walk, how to please God? That's Timothy and Titus especially. But they don't do that. How many parents make their daughters work? How many husbands make their wives work? And I know we're being forced into it today because we need the money. Money is our God in America. And if you want to have a halfway decent house and a halfway decent car and halfway decent toys, you all got to work. Even the kids got to work. But it's wrong. And burn the judgment seat. God isn't going to break fellowship. See, this guy said to me last night, well, 1 John is about breaking fellowship. Are you kidding? If that's the case, God's hardly talking to any woman. They're dressing wrong, they're talking wrong, they're working, they're in the careers, they're serving other men except their own man. I mean, then there's not a woman in this world hardly that's got any fellowship with God. I have to type that up tonight to this guy. When they say stuff like when you're doing something wrong, you lose God's fellowship, they don't even know what it is to do right, to do wrong, to lose God's fellowship. Well, you don't lose God's fellowship. What kind of Christian thinks they're doing good enough to deserve God's fellowship? His fellowship with us is because of him that he's fellowshipping with us. We're the ones that quit reading our Bible. We're the ones that break fellowship with him. When's the last time you read your Bible? When's the last time you sat down and found something and just read something, you studied something? That's fellowshipping with God. When's the last time you prayed? When's the last time you talked to him while you're driving down the highway? That's fellowship. We're the ones that break fellowship. Anyway, what are we talking about? Okay, yes, anyway. How you ought to walk and to please God. Anyway, so these guys go out there and they preach the commandments of the Bible. They'll preach Paul's command. Well, here's what Paul says we should do. But they will not say, well, Hebrews to Jude, those are not our commandments. They will not say the gospel, those are not our commandments. They'll preach those commandments. But they do the Paul thing, so they make you think he's a Paul guy. There's a lot of guys that want people to think, well, I'm a Paul guy. Well, yeah, you're also a Peter guy. You're also a Jude guy. You're also a James guy. You're also a John guy. You're a Matthew, Mark, Luke guy. You're not just a Paul guy only. Now, how many people are dumb enough to think because a guy says the word Paul once in a while, oh, see, he's a Paul guy? No, he's not. Come on. You just want him to be because you want to go to church somewhere. And if you're going to stick to this Paul-only stuff, you're not going to be going to church anymore. There's no church that preaches this stuff hardly. Okay, anyway, get back on trail here. Stay on the trail. That as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more, for ye know what commandments we gave you. Now, those are the commandments we're supposed to follow, but not for our salvation, not even for our fellowship. Those are the things we're supposed to follow to please God. In fact, 1 John even mentions pleasing God. But if you do Paul's commandments during the tribulation, you're not going to please God. If you do the Jewish commandments during Paul's time, you're not going to please God. Now, some of them match up. Of course they do. Thou shalt not steal. Paul talks about that. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Paul talks about 9 of those. It's amazing. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God. See, that is not referring to a specific one commandment, by the commandment of God. That's what God said. God told him that. God told us that. That's what we're talking about when it says the commandment. God's telling us. A rightly divided Bible will show us what God's commandment is to us today, and is Paul's teachings. And one more, I already did that one, didn't I? I guess we're done with that. Okay. Let's look at, here's a good one. I love this one. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Oh, you know what? Oh, for crying out loud. I hope you're getting this recorded, Mark. I didn't turn on the video. So, you know, it's just so irritating how I botch this thing all the time. Okay, enough of that. No audio for the video. I sure hope you're getting it recorded, Mark. I put the thing far enough away from me. I don't see that it's not on. So I guess I'll get done today early enough because I won't have any video to work on. You are good. 1 Corinthians 14. That's just really, you know, that stuff just really irritates me. It truly does. When I botch up stuff. Oh, well. 1 Corinthians 14:37. I like this. If any man think himself to be a prophet, okay, we know that not today, or spiritual. So you think you're spiritual, and you think you're a good Bible study, you think you're a good Christian, you think you understand God's ways. Let him acknowledge that the things that I, that's Paul, write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now that is that verse, square circle that verse and say, listen, so you think you're a Christian. It says right there that if you think you're a spiritual person, then you need to acknowledge that what Paul says are that's the commandments of the Lord. I know you got these pastors that say, well, yeah, I'll go along with that. But so is what John says in John. So is what Peter says and say, no, it's not. Those are not the commandments of the Lord to us today. Paul, who Paul is talking to, those are who the commandments are. And if you want to be spiritual, you got to acknowledge that I, Paul, am writing to you the commandments of the Lord. God is telling me to tell you this stuff. God is not telling me to tell you one thing, and then Peter another thing, and then John another thing. These guys that snow people that make them think, well, so he's a Paul guy. Oh, come on, please. And look at this in Ephesians chapter 2. Those itching ears. You'll find a guy that'll scratch your itching ears. You want to hear somebody say the word Paul, then you're convinced that he's a Paul guy. So you know what they do? They say the word Paul once in a while. And you sit there and you think, ah, good. I found a Paul guy. He's a marvelous guy. Well, why is he preaching to something out of Peter? Why is he? Well, it doesn't matter. He's talking about Paul. I still get to go to church and play church. How exciting. No, he's not a Paul guy. He's a Paul user. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. This is a good one. They're all good. Let's go to verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. See, that's the Gentile. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Okay? That's he's taking the difference between the Jews and the Gentiles away. But the Jews got to come to the Gentile side for teachings. That's Paul. It says in verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, you know, the division, the strife, the enemy between here, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Get rid of all that stuff. For to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. That he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And what he did, if you want to get rid of that enmity, you want to be part of that oneness and the peace that Christ offers, you do it through Paul. You don't go back to the Jewish stuff. He takes the wall down and says, okay, now come over and listen to what I'm preaching to the Gentiles. Because you could have had that. But you didn't. But come on over here. I'll make you one with me. But we're doing it through Paul's teachings. Not a problem. It's amazing. Read the whole thing. It's just what it says. It says down in verse 20, and are built upon the foundations of the apostles. Well, sure, the apostles set the foundation of the church back in early Acts. In the Gospels. That's where Jesus says. And that church was founded and started by the fact that they had to believe that Jesus was the Christ. Not a problem. But you're not. Paul says he's the one. Now you get that foundation. No other foundation. But it's got to come from Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Oh, I know you're tired of this, but I'm trying to give you stuff to show somebody somewhere. I'm trying to get some people to realize you don't have a Paul pastor. You're being duped. I'm trying to get some people, give some people some ammunition here to show somebody that if you want to follow, you know, if you want to please God, you follow Paul. If you want to keep his commandments, what commandments do you keep? You keep the commandments that Paul puts forth. And what we're doing today, look at Colossians chapter 2, here's what people are doing today. Christians. And the world out there in some respects. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. That their hearts might be comforted. Wait a minute here. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Uh-oh. Is it 12? Okay, I've got to look up something here real quick like here. I can find it here. I've just got my notes right here. 22. There we go. Colossians 2:22. There we go. It was late last night. Which all are to perish with the using, the previous stuff about rudiments of the world in verse 20, as though living in the world. You know, it says, after the commandments and doctrines of men. That's what religion is. Now, the religious doctrine has all this stuff as a godliness. It looks right. Commandments are still, but they're still commandments of men. And then look at Titus. We'll finish up in Titus here. Titus chapter 1, verse 14. He says, talking about these gainsayers that are out there. They're giving heed to commandments of men. Look what commandments of men do. They turn people from the truth. They turn from the truth. Isn't it amazing how a pastor can say he's a Paul guy and still get those people in that church to turn from the truth? Because they're not Paul guys. Somebody says, well, I rightly divide. No, you don't. You rightly divide by verse. You go verse by verse. This verse is for us. This verse is for us. This verse is for the tribulation. This verse is for the tribulation. This verse was for the past. No, you follow Paul. The commandment of God, what he tells us to do is to follow Paul. Not the commandments of men, because the commandments of men will turn you from the truth and keep you from your salvation. And keep you from growing. Keep you from having rewards. Keep you from doing the right thing. Keep you from pleasing God. That's what will happen. Now, there are two other places that talk about, that Paul talks about. And are they tough verses? Now they take an explanation on their own. And we'll talk about those tonight. This will take some thinking tonight. So we'll do that tonight.